Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast, your home for all things Marvel, DC, Star Wars, and so much more. Join Derek, Trent, and Ian as they tell tales to astonish along this journey into mystery. So grab some snacks and settle in because Paperweight Entertainment starts now. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast. This is your host, Derek Hoskins, and with me tonight, as always, my good friend and yours, Mr. Ian Torrance. Ian, how you doing?
Not too bad. I thought I was about to fall out of my chair. Panicked a little.
Was it the power of my voice just pushing all the way through the interwebs, knocking you out?
Have you guys ever been like sitting down or?
Yes,
well, right, yeah, now, like, actually. Have you ever been sitting down and like you lean back? And that panic takes over because you think you're about to fall back further.
Life just flashes before your eyes.
Your heart just stops beating for half a second, and you forget how to breathe.
I know that's how they wake you up in Inception. I do know that.
Maybe that's what's going on.
We're stealing your dreams right now.
And that voice you heard, of course, is Mr. Trent Persinger. Trent, hey, buddy.
What's up?
Hi, Trent.
Hi, man. How you doing?
Not too bad.
Did you enjoy that Hawkeye episode? I know you've been waiting all day long to talk about it.
Ooh. I couldn't wait.
I know it's been on your mind. I know you watched it bright and early.
It's been on my mind recently on my phone.
Yeah,
that's so, all right. I just watched it too about an hour ago.
In case you weren't aware by that banter or by the title of the the episode that you clicked on, we're going to talk about Hawkeye. The season finale, hopefully season finale, not already? Series finale. So, yeah, I don't know. It's already the season finale that dropped today.
I do have a confession. When you like I said, I completely forgot. I thought we were doing this tomorrow. And the whole reason we were doing this tonight is because Trent and I asked to. And when Trent's like, I'll be on in like 10 minutes, I was like, what the hell is he talking about? And then I thought I lost a day. And I was like, is it Thursday? What the hell happened to Wednesday? What did I do? Did I go to work? Have I been asleep?
That's all right. I lost a whole year because 2020 apparently just doesn't exist in my mind. Every time I talk to Jensen about something, yeah, that was like last year. No, that was 2 years ago.
What? Are you sure?
I was during that time.
So then, like, you were like, yeah, and you guys were talking about watching it. And I was watching a movie and I was like, shit. I was like, I'm watching the wrong thing. I literally thought, man, maybe I should start watching Hawkeye. And I was like, no, I got time. And luckily I did have time because my computer needed an update. So
yeah, it worked out. It's all good. So yeah, we're going to talk about the season finale of Hawkeye. Also, we didn't get to talk about episode 5. So we'll touch on that a little bit. And I'm looking forward to it because like Trent said, it's already the end of Hawkeye. It's kind of hard to believe. Only 6 episodes goes by really fast when you drop the first 2 in one day. So before we get into the finale, let's talk a little bit about episode 5. If you guys can remember, spoilers for Hawkeye episode 5 from a week ago. Also spoilers for episode 6. We're not going to worry about it. Full spoiler review here. Episode 5, I think, was possibly the best episode of this season. I thought it had some excellent emotional beats. It had some great, really, that's mainly the reason. You guys know me. I'm a crier. I like the emotional moments. And so last week, and then, of course, we also got the reveal of Kingpin at the end of it. So thoughts real quick on episode 5, and then we'll just focus on episode 6 this for the rest of the time here. Ian or Trent, either one of you, hop in.
I'm still trying to, I know it was a week ago, and I'm going to sound horribly unprepared for a MCU podcast, but like I'm trying to remember what happened in 5. Obviously I remember the big Yelena scenes, and then the Kingpin reveal. Those were kind of my two
Yelena takeaways. Now is that when she went to talk to what's her name,
Kate Bishop?
Oh, you did just remind me of the very beginning scene. I thought was really cool, speaking of Yelena and going to talk to someone. Wasn't that last week?
Yes,
she went to her little flashback to
where we actually got to see somebody get snapped away and brought back in their perspective, which was absolutely like a gut punch to see that from her perspective. It was amazing.
Yeah, because we kind of got it with Monica in WandaVision, but we didn't get the before. We only got the after. So it was right. Cool kind of seeing the whole thing and how she just kind of literally was gone for a second in her eyes, and then everything is just all different when she comes back. That was really well done.
Yeah, so also in last week's episode, also for anybody else that needs a quick breakdown of it, we got that opening scene with Yelena, and I can't remember the other former Black Widow.
Kate Bishop.
And that Anna, that sounds right. So we got that, and then we had the scene obviously with Kate going back to talk to her mom and telling her mom about Jack being involved with the
by the way was the mafia. Most smoothest under control person being arrested I think I've ever
seen. I understand.
This is I'll be back in time for the holiday party.
I didn't care as much for him at the beginning, but he grew on me. I love Jack.
He grew into one of my favorite characters. So that happened, and then we also, of course, got the incredible scene between Yelena and Kate Bishop, where Yelena made some really good smelling macaroni.
It's so good. It's so good.
And then, of course, it culminated with the
I know what macaroni Clint. And cheese. Tastes like
it culminated with Clint confronting Maya as Ronan when we found out that Clint actually did kill Maya's father. He really did. That we had speculated that that was going to be possibly somebody else. Flippy. I know he was real flippy, more flippy than I've seen him in anything else in the MCU, but he was very flippy.
Very flippant.
You take the bow out of the equation, he just has all this extra just space to move around and stuff. Use both hands and just
turn. Can I see that again?
Yeah, it was just a lot of this. A lot more nimble when you don't have to use a.
But didn't he have a sword in his hand?
Yeah, but it was retractable.
Man, with his dark.
And it was tracted the whole time.
With as dark as Trent's room is right now,
oh, I can when see you were, flashes of
it looked like
hey,
Doug.
That's all.
Like
that's Doug all Ronan's victims see. Labyrinth. That's all Ronan's victims see. Just flashes of hands, and then they're gone. I do. I like sitting in the dark. What can I say?
Oh my god, that's so much more room for activities. But he was holding a sword. It was retractable.
Man, I didn't write the show.
I love that that's your argument. It was retractable. It was out. He was stabbing people with it.
Oh my gosh. So anyway, so that was episode 5 in a nutshell. And then of course we got the big reveal at the end of it that much to Ian's chagrin, the Vincent D'Onofrio officially came back as Kingpin. Although we'll get into it with this episode. Very clearly a different Kingpin.
Quick same actor, 5. Different character. Quick episode 5 rant real quick, and it's okay. Not a major rant, but like every MCU show so far has had at the very least in episode 5, I think in a couple even on episode 4, a scene at the end, and I've looked like a fool for like 3 straight weeks now, like, oh, there's gonna be something, there's gonna be something here setting up the there was nothing, and I was so I guess the Kingpin thing was the big deal, and
right.
Probably didn't want to undercut that, I get it, but man, I was really looking forward to a scene. And then I was looking forward to something a little saucy after the finale, and I'm sure we'll get into that later, but I was equally disappointed.
We will get into that later.
Derek's going to have words with me, but I will fight him.
So in episode 5, I think they absolutely should have put in a post-credit scene. I think that the lack of a post-credit scene in episode 5, and in all honesty, a lack of a different type of post-credit scene on episode 6, even though I love what they did in episode 6, I understand people's frustration. I really do understand people's frustration. But in episode 5, I think that what they could have done was give you the beginning of the first scene of episode 6 as a post-credit scene. Actually show the scene where you see the cane drop, hear the footsteps, and then see Wilson Fisk come in and sit down. Yeah. And then that way you could have actually been like, okay, yeah, it is actually officially him. And then that gives people, you know, something to talk about. Because I know if you didn't watch the credits last week, you know, you may not have understood for sure if that was actually going to be Vincent D'Onofrio. You know, I saw plenty of people that were reacting to that episode online. Just like, well, I guess we'll find out next week if that's Vincent D'Onofrio. Because people forget the credits exist. Excuse me.
pretty so, yeah, it looked like him too.
Yeah, I know. But I really do. I still think, even after this episode, I think that episode 5 was the best episode of the season. The emotional confrontation between Clint and Maya, and you know, Kate coming clean to her mom that they know about, that Jack had incriminated evidence, the incredible scene between Kate Bishop and Yelena was full of tension, and it felt like something out of
Bishop?
It felt like something out of a Tarantino film. I loved the dialogue because it was equal parts really, really funny and really, really, really tense. I thought it was brilliant. And Florence Pugh can do no wrong. I fall more and more in love with Yelena's character every time I see her on screen.
Well, she did Midsommar, so.
Well, Midsommar wasn't terrible. You liked It Follows. I don't want to go there. Well, that's a discussion for another day. It Follows
is so much better than Midsommar.
That's a discussion for another day. That's a horror, you know, discussion, not a paperwork discussion.
We'll bring you on there and you guys can duke it out.
We'll see if I ever get to go. You've been saying that for months. All right.
We don't even meet anymore.
Anyway, do you guys have anything else that you want to bring up about episode 5 before we dive into?
No, I really want to talk about episode 6. I want to talk about that stupid fucking hat that Vincent D'Onofrio was wearing.
All right. So let's get right into the whole thing with Kingpin. I truly believe, after watching this episode, that there is zero chance that this Kingpin is the same Kingpin from the Netflix series. Because one, he was just about indestructible. Two, Kingpin in the Netflix series, excuse me. Sorry about that. I had a frog in my throat. Kingpin in the Netflix series, everything about him was very refined. Like, all of his outfits were incredibly, you know, he was very well groomed all the time. Netflix Kingpin would not be caught dead wearing a Hawaiian shirt and like a choker gold necklace, which, granted, I loved the outfit. I thought it looked great. But
the Hawaiian shirt and the hat, I thought he was the Joker in The Killing Joke. When they missed it was a giant camera on his chest.
He was going for his best John Hammond from Jurassic Park.
He did look like John Hammond. He even had the cape.
He spared no expense.
Spared no expense.
I wish when he walked onto the screen, you just hear, nah, 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 nah.
Oh my gosh.
Good call,
Trent. He really did. Oh my gosh. I actually didn't have a problem.
It was weird that his cane had the mosquito in it too. Sorry. Sorry, Derek.
That's all right. I was just gonna say, I actually didn't have a problem with his version of Kingpin in this. I feel like it was almost a little more comic accurate than the Netflix Kingpin. The Netflix Kingpin was so very reserved, like when he was just speaking to people. I know Ian thinks he just screams the entire time, but the way that,
when he talked, it was just cringy.
I feel like the Netflix one was a little more believable too, that he actually was like a mob boss,
right?
I almost feel like he was kind of still low level in this show. Like, I know he's still the Kingpin and he's like had the line about like, I run this city. But I almost feel like, you know, he's got kind of the cheaper, goofier clothes. He's the boss of the tracksuit mafia, which are hardly intimidating. Like, right. I almost wonder if it's kind of like a,
bro,
still not quite up to the level of power that we would expect the Kingpin to be yet.
I was thinking that as well. And the only John way that I Hammond. Can see...
John, he hasn't quite opened his park yet. He doesn't have the DNA all the way through.
Are you talking about the DNA for the dinosaur?
Dino DNA. The only way I'm trying so hard to keep
that's where lizard track. Came from in no way.
Yes, it's late.
the only way I could see them saying that this is the same character from the Netflix shows is if after season 3 of Daredevil that he went to prison and then he literally lost everything. And this really is a Kingpin that is building everything back up. And, you know, maybe Vanessa's gone. He's a broken man. He's just wearing, you know, Hawaiian shirts, hanging out in an office with like beads hanging from the doorway.
It was a very shitty office.
Yeah. It was. And I don't want to come off like I didn't like his portrayal in this, but
seen you at your worst matches. What does that even mean? What does that even mean?
He was talking about the fact that she was doing martial arts. Like the first time that we see his character in Hawkeye, he's at a martial arts. Like
that's
a
worst matches.
Yeah,
it's just a weird way to word it.
Well, he's a weird guy.
Weird guy, Ace.
This is a guy that speaks like this.
Weird guy, Ace. Weird guy.
So I did want to ask you, Ian, with his portrayal being slightly different in this than it was in Daredevil, did you hate it as bad?
Worse.
You liked it?
I thought it was gonna be so cringy. Like, as soon as I saw him come on the screen, I thought, well, hopefully he is a little bit different and he doesn't try. Nope, he was spot on. He talked really slow, but really fast in spurts. And nothing really made his, and he wouldn't make eye contact with anyone when he spoke. So that, and then he gets shot in the fucking chest with an arrow. He just, what's going on here?
I mean, he wore body armor.
Is that what that was?
Yeah, because if you remember,
chubby.
No, if you remember in the Daredevil series, he's wearing those suits are made with body armor built in. That's how Daredevil gets
that,
his
that costume. Hawaiian shirt.
No, not the Hawaiian shirt, but definitely the coat and the jacket.
He got shot in the Hawaiian shirt.
I'm well aware. I'm just trying to make it make sense, man.
And he got hit by a fucking car.
And a bomb exploded in his face. And
he ripped that car door off, too, like it was made of paper.
He did rip that car door off. That's another reason why I think they...
It's definitely more comic booky, for sure.
Yeah, I think that they're MCUing the Netflix characters that they're going to bring over.
I'm sorry I yelled.
No, it's all right. Yell, buddy. You just be passionate.
I think he has powers. I think we'll learn later on that he definitely has some.
He has the power to bore people to death, am I right?
I really hope that he doesn't have powers, but if he does, that's all right. I will say that for anybody confused, and for Ian, you know, I'm sorry, buddy, but I have to tell you that Kingpin's not dead. They did not kill him.
Are you sure? I mean, a gunshot to the chest. Oh, wait, an arrow to the heart doesn't kill him.
Yeah, a gunshot to the face. No, I've seen a lot. Trent and I were talking about this while
tell me that Maya point breaked him.
No, she shot him in the face. I mean, if they're following the comics, because, you know, she does that in the comics. She shoots him in the face. He survives somehow and is only blinded by the shot. But the fact that they panned up, like I was saying, Trent and I were talking about this earlier, and they didn't show him, you know, being killed. There's no way he's dead.
It's a Disney Plus show, Derek. They're not going to show him getting point blank shot in the face. Are they?
They sure had no problem showing all the tracksuit mafias getting sliced and diced and arrowed. And
yeah, but there was
guy's leg got like frozen off.
That wasn't as graphic as shooting someone in the face. Although I'm glad you brought that up. Did anybody else think it was funny watching Jack clean the blood off his
list? Yes, Jack was MVP.
Oh, I got blood on my tie.
Jack led to my favorite line of this entire episode. When they show up to the party and Jack's there in a tuxedo and a sword. Clint's like, you know, he just got out of prison for being accused for murdering somebody with a sword. And she says, yeah, or maybe he's wearing it because, you know, just to prove that, you know, that he didn't do it. And Clint just says, kind of a weird flex, but all right. And I don't know why I laughed out loud when he said that. It's kind of a weird flex, but all right.
Well, one of my favorite parts with him in it was that was pretty funny. But when they were all the people from the guild were talking to Kate, and she was like, yeah, we got to get everybody out of here. They're like, even Jack? And she was like, yeah, well, he's on our side, but we should probably get him out of here too.
Right.
I was just like, I don't know. Jack's kind of holding his own over there.
Yeah, Jack was doing just
fine.
All
right, Jack, it's your time.
He was waiting for that moment. Finally get to kill some people with my sword.
Also, like, I really love that part because I actually like the swordsman in the comics. He's not like one of my favorite characters, but I enjoy reading when he pops up. So I was glad that he got something to do. But I do have a nitpick. Those tracksuit bros were showing up with aluminum baseball bats, and he was fighting them with a rapier, which is a very thin sword.
That's true.
Like, if somebody takes a swing
He's the swordsman, Derek.
And you try and parry with a thin metal blade, no matter how strong that blade is, you're going to jack that blade up. Like, if not broken completely, at least bent in half after getting hit with a... Like, he was sword fighting a dude that had a bat. And I thought that was a little silly, but I didn't care because Jack was making me happy every time that he was on screen, which I didn't expect because, like you said, towards the beginning of the show, he was so annoying and got on my nerves so bad. But also, speaking of Jack, anybody else think it was weird that it didn't seem to bother him at all that he found out that his fiance set him up and was working for the mob and like framed him for murder?
Yeah. Did they even really get any screen time together other than the very beginning?
No, because he showed up and he was like, we need to talk. And then she just says, not now. Like, no, I think now's a good time. Like, I don't care what's going on. I think we're going to have a discussion right now.
I think he definitely, his story suffered probably the most of the main characters as far as kind of rushing it a little bit. Could have probably fleshed out a little more for sure.
Mm.
Did he say balls, there's blood on my tie?
That's what I heard.
Like I said, I watched it twice, and both times I thought about turning on the captions. If we get done recording early enough tonight, then Allie and I will watch it because she hasn't got to watch it yet.
Balls.
But I'm going to definitely turn on the captions to see if Jack says balls, there's blood on my tie, or I got blood on my tie, because that was hilarious. Excuse me. Also, the LARPers, I'm loving the LARPers. I got such a kick out of the fact that when he asked Kate, what are your threats? What are your assets? And she said, we got assets everywhere, and you see them at the party. I thought that was great. And also, I'm really, really glad that their hero moment was just putting on costumes so that people would listen to them and where to go. Because I was a little concerned that they were going to go too far with them and give them like big hero moments where they got to do something a little too heroic. But I really enjoyed that. And watching Grills carry Armand the Seventh while he's getting yelled at was amusing as well.
I can't get Jack Hammond out of my head.
All right. Let me see what else to talk about here. I think that's it. I think we'll just wrap it up here. Nothing else happened in this episode, right?
Hi, guys.
All right.
Kazi. So Kazi in the comics is a really, really terrifying hitman assassin. Kazi in Hawkeye is maybe the dumbest villain ever.
Yeah, why would you need the red dot scope on if you've already got it like in your scope? Why would you need that going into the building from that far away?
I thought the same thing. Snipers don't use laser pointers. Do you know what laser pointers do? Give away your position. They don't do it. It's such a bad trope that they use in movies and TV shows. It doesn't make any sense. A sniper doesn't.
Well, not only that, but I thought like Clint seeing the glint of it in the glass. I was like, why would he be pointing at the glass?
Right. So I think that the only explanation is that Kazi is completely inept. Like 100% inept.
Well, he is a tracksuit, so I mean
that, and he can't fight worth a shit.
Yeah. So he honestly thought like he was like, oh, I'm gonna enjoy this. Like you're gonna fight Hawkeye. You
enjoy getting your ass whooped.
You're gonna fight Ronin. Like you know what this guy is capable of, and we've seen you fight. Like you took a couple of judo classes with Maya when you were a kid. the fact that he thought he was gonna take on Hawkeye was hilarious to me. I love that fight was over quick. And then this man has the audacity to go up against Maya and like, don't make me do this. Do what?
Like twice his size.
Don't make me get my ass kicked again.
He did nothing this entire series but get beat up by everyone that he goes up against. And yet he has the audacity in his final like showdown to say, don't make me do this. Like he's going to do something. Ridiculous. Kazi was a worthless character, but I did enjoy seeing him getting beat up and eventually killed because he was worthless. And I'm glad that Maya killed him because he sucks.
Did they ever explain in the show why they wanted to kill her dad? Did I miss that?
I don't think so. Why does Kingpin want to kill anybody?
Yeah.
Just because. The same reason that he says every conversation. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
Takes
I thought
a deep breath.
I thought they were, we already mentioned Jack and then even kind of Maya a little bit. I felt like, you know, this kind of had some Falcon and Winter Soldier vibes. Like, I see a lot of people bitching about how Marvel shit the bed in the finale again. I disagree with that sentiment because I actually do think this was a really good and satisfying episode. But there were a couple of moments like that that I felt like could have used a little bit more time to develop.
I did think the Yelena and Clint thing was a little cliche.
And it was wrapped up a little quick. Yeah. I think that they've got to stop. If they want to do... if Disney Plus wants to do short episodes, then they need to do more of them. They just have to, because they're introducing characters and storylines that then they have to rush to pay off. And it's been that way in all of them. Even though I've enjoyed every series that they've put out so far, every season finale has been rushed and crammed full of stuff.
Yeah.
Things that were introduced like the second to last episode.
But that's just me.
This one I don't think was as rushed as WandaVision. WandaVision felt, well, not Falcon. Rushed. I think that Falcon was really rushed. WandaVision
by far the most rushed of all of them, in my opinion.
WandaVision, I think, suffered because it seemed like a much different type of show by the time it got to the finale. Because, you know, it had the mystery angle, and then by the time it got to the finale, it was a little bit of a different genre almost.
Mm-hmm.
Falcon the Winter Soldier was rushed. Loki was relatively rushed. And
I
then
disagree on Loki. I thought his ending was great.
Well, yeah, but they had nothing going on with, like, Mobius didn't do anything.
Loki had the advantage of knowing all along that there was going to be a season two, whereas yeah, I feel like true. All these other shows probably are not going to have one, although I really would love to see a season two of Hawkeye. But Loki kind of had that kind of oh shit ending cliffhanger type of thing that you love from finales because they knew that there was more.
They didn't know.
So, and Hawkeye, again, we don't know for sure, but probably just going to be a one-time thing. So
I don't know. Well, I'm not sure whether it'll be one time or not. It probably will, because I think that they'll want to get Hailee Steinfeld into something else, like a bigger project than just a Disney Plus series.
You talking about Hawkshot?
Hawkshot. Lady Hawk.
Hawk Eve.
Oh my gosh. The action in this I loved. I really enjoyed, especially Kate and Yelena.
Where did Clint get all this stuff for those trick arrows? Where's all that stuff? He's had that lying around.
Well, I think a lot of it looked like he could have just went to the hardware store and got it. But he did just have like a crate of Pym particles and Stark Tech, which I found intriguing.
Yeah, because weren't they out of Pym particles in Endgame? Wasn't that the whole thing?
That was because Hank Pym was gone, but when they came back at the end of Endgame, I would imagine that they could get him anything he needs.
Hank's kind of a douche, though.
He is a douche, but...
Hey,
I agree, yeah, I just...
Leave Hank alone.
I was like, you said, hey, do you have something to back up?
No. You leave him alone. He's a genius.
That was funny, though, when he shot the Pym arrow at the truck. And
yeah. When Kate, like,
What do we do with him now?
I loved the payoff to that, because when he was in the tree and he was just talking to the owl, I thought, that's such a random thing. And then when the owl showed up to take away the truck, I thought, okay, well played, show. Good job. I
forgot about that.
So I agree with what you're about to say with the Kate and Yelena. Their back and forth was so great, so funny, and so childish. I thought it was great because, you know, when she gets in the elevator and before she even gets in the elevator, she's like, oh yeah, out of all like 60 something floors, you're gonna know which floor he's on. She's like, you stopped on floor 12. And then they get on there, and she looks over at the button, and Yelena's like, don't. Like, she knows she's going to go press them.
She just keeps grabbing her hand. But the moment that Kate slaps her in the face was gold. Just like Chef's gift.
What was that?
I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know.
Stop making me like you.
I can't help it.
Oh,
yeah. I can't dip it.
Yeah. She asked her out, you know, well, maybe we should just go get a drink. Yeah. Yeah. That'd be great. After I kill Barton.
After I kill
Barton. And I think she was genuine. I legitimately think that in her mind, she was going to go kill Hawkeye and then go like, all right, so we're going to go get a drink. We good?
Yeah.
And I kind of hope they get a chance to go get a drink together.
I do too. I want to see a spinoff of those two. Kate sliding across the ice, shooting arrows was pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, that whole from the minute that she shoots the tree, that entire sequence I loved. I thought that it was. I loved that they did the Avengers slow motion like pan around of them both fighting. I loved the costumes. And I love that it legitimately looked like a couple of LARPers put together a costume, but it still looked really fun. I really liked Hawkeye's costume. And I did, you know, you brought up the trick arrows. I loved watching them make those together where he's kind of teaching her and the label maker putting down what each other's arrow was.
That was smart.
I thought that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that. Emotional beats in this episode. There weren't as many, I didn't think, but when Clint said, "You're my partner,"
yeah, when he said, "You're my partner,"
I actually got like a little misty. I thought, I went, "Aw,"
I did too. I did the same thing. I was like, "Aw," it's the first time he said that.
I was surprised that he said that, but I was very happy that he did.
I enjoyed his, I wouldn't call it a confession, but when he was explaining to Yelena basically what happened with Natasha and. She said that, you know, like it shouldn't have been her, or it should have been. Yeah, I forget what she said exactly, but he's like, it shouldn't have been her. What was it? What did he say? He's like, I didn't deserve to be saved, or something like
that. Yeah, she said, why did she?
And then he was like, I tried to, or something, but she was better than me, or something. Yeah. I thought that was really.
She
really
said, helpful. Why didn't you stop her?
He
said, I tried to stop her, but she's better than me.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I loved. Even though
the advantages of watching it 38 seconds ago,
even though I think that scene was a little too quick, like it was over too fast, I really liked that Clint just gave up at the end of it. Like he had told her everything that happened. He told her the truth and he knew he couldn't beat her in a fight. He didn't want to beat her in a fight. And he just finally said, I'm sorry. And then he put his head down, just waiting for the gunshot.
Which, by the way, I love how, obviously, it's a Hawkeye show, but I feel like this show has done such an awesome job of making it almost a Black Widow show in a way, too, because mm-hmm. Natasha has been such a heavy presence in this show, really, from the beginning, and I felt like it really helps give her character some closure that maybe her movie, well, of course, it was a prequel, so it only could do so much, but I mean, like, I feel like it's really doing her character some justice.
Yeah, just like I agree.
The grief that Clint has struggled with and then bringing Yelena into it. It's been a nice kind of send off for Natasha.
And she's been mentioned in every episode, like she's brought up. And they keep using that Vormir music cue,
mm-hmm.
that just twisting that knife a little deeper.
And I'm not saying that like Kate is going to be his new Natasha as far as being best buds, but I do feel like that kind of is like, you know, he's transitioning from that friendship with her to developing this friendship with Kate now too. So it's been a nice sort of bridge.
Yeah. And it's not like a new, like the relationship he had with Natasha is different than what he's building with Kate because he's more into a mentor role here.
Right. Right.
Which I have a theory of what they're going to do. And I really hope that it's going to happen. I doubt it, but I really hope it is. Jeremy Renner has talked about wanting to, like somebody asked him, what would you like to do with Hawkeye that you haven't gotten to do? And he brought up the West Coast Avengers because the West Coast Avengers were led by Hawkeye. Like that was the whole point because Hawkeye thought he could be a better leader than Cap. And so they're like, all right, fine. We're going to start a new team. We'll see how you do over there by yourself. And so I don't think they're going to do a West Coast Avengers, but I could absolutely see them doing Young Avengers with Clint Barton as their mentor
on the West Coast.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, in the Matt Fraction run of comics, Kate Bishop goes to LA and that's where she works out of while Clint stays in New York. So there's a possibility.
I'm surprised they didn't tease something more. I know we've already kind of talked about the end credit scene, but I am a little surprised that it ended the way it did without some sort of, you know, breadcrumb for future stuff.
Yeah, I really expected to see either something with Kingpin, something with Echo, or something with Kate, like leading into what she's going to do next. Because I, like I said, there, I don't think that there's any possibility this is the last time we see Kate Bishop. I don't think it's even the last time we're going to see Clint Barton. I think he's going to show up again and do some stuff as well.
I hope so.
I was really happy that this show, one of the recurring themes I'm seeing online from people that are reviewing this and people that are just talking about the show is that people are saying that, oh yeah, this is finally something that has made me care about Hawkeye. I finally appreciate the character a little bit more. And I think that is a fantastic thing that needed to happen, because I think that Hawkeye is a really good character. I think Jeremy Renner has played him well, and I think he deserved to have this spotlight put on him to show that he really is an interesting character that can be entertaining for fans. So I was really happy for that people took to this show.
I think a lot of it is, I think it was summed up perfectly in that conversation between him and Kate, where she was basically saying how she saw him when she was little jump off that building, even though you can't fly. And, you know, basically just saying you don't have to have powers to be a superhero. You just have to be brave enough to do the right thing. I'm paraphrasing, but that was a really powerful scene. And I think that's what makes Hawkeye so cool, is that he's just this guy that's just, you know, heavily trained, good at what he does, but he doesn't have any powers. He just goes out and does what needs to be done, you know?
Yeah. And I love that scene as well. I really liked this show. I don't know where it would sit in my like rankings of the Disney Plus shows off the top of my head, but I really enjoyed it overall. I liked every episode, at least. You know, I didn't dislike any of them. I have my problems with a couple of them here and there, but I liked all of them. I really thought this was a fun finale. And
it's getting harder and harder to kind of rank them for me, because they're all so different from one another.
Yeah. Well, like, I don't know. This one.
It was the closest to Falcon. Closest to Falcon and Winter Soldier. It's grounded realism, but even that was more serious. There wasn't like there were some fun moments in it and some buddy cop camaraderie to it for sure, but this one was more lighthearted and fun. Basically,
it was a Christmas show.
Yeah,
like it was a straight up Christmas show, which I loved. Because I love Christmas and Christmas time and Christmas movies and Christmas music and all of the things that Ian hates. I love
Falcon and Winter Soldier had a lot of heavy themes to it. It had a man beating a man to death with a Captain America. Like, it had a lot of heavy stuff going for it, and I just, you know, this one is just so much more breezy and fun. And I don't know, they're just, it's hard to compare them all, really. I love them.
Yeah,
all.
It is. I think that's a big strength that the Disney Plus shows have had, is that they haven't gotten into like a rut of all being the same thing. Like, you look at, and I don't want to take shots at CW or Warner Brothers, but, you know, Arrow was really big, and then The Flash was really big. And even though the shows had different tones, they had the exact same framing device. They had the exact same, you know, each one started with a narration. Each one was a villain a week. They were very much the same shows with a slightly different tone. Whereas, like you said, all the Disney Plus shows have been very, very different. They've each had a different style. They've had a different, you know, theme to them and what they are. And I think that that's something that the MCU has done, and they've pulled that over into their shows very, very well. And I cannot wait. The things we have coming between Armor Wars, which I'm so stoked for, I can't even express. Ironheart, which I'm also excited about. Ms. Marvel, She-Hulk, Moon Knight, you know, Echo. I didn't love her character in this show, so I'm not as excited for her own TV show. I have no doubt that it'll be excellent, but I think that she kind of got the short end of the stick on this. I think her storyline was one that suffered by it kind of being shoehorned in to the rest of the story,
which is too bad, because her introduction was great.
Her introduction was excellent.
Yeah.
But I think that they went from, okay, we need her to be like a, a truly an intimidating antagonist to, okay, well, we also, by the end of this, because she didn't show up until what, episode 3?
Right.
Or 4? I can't remember which episode she actually showed up in, like, with her intro and everything. Well,
2, I guess, technically at the end, but then
3. Right. Excuse me. And so I think that it really suffered, her storyline suffered, because she had to have an entire arc as a side character to set up her arc that she's going to have in her own show, which is also why I think that Kingpin didn't work as well in the show, because I think they're just setting him up for Echo. And I think his only inclusion was to let people know that Vincent D'Onofrio is back and to show where he came from and why he's going to be different in Echo. Because when he shows up in Echo, he's going to either be scarred or he's going to be blind, you know, depending on how they play it.
Hopefully he's mute.
No, you don't want him to be mute. That would be even worse.
And then he can't talk. He'll just sign the whole time, but he'll sign really slow. And it'll still be like he's talking in that stupid slow voice.
I am so sad that you don't like his performance. That bums me out. For not, you know, I gave you a hard time about not liking it, but I really am. I'm so sad that you don't enjoy it, because I absolutely love it. Like his first scene, I was really excited because I felt like, oh man, we've got Kingpin back. He looks great.
And then he spoke, yeah.
No, even I'm talking that whole first scene where she's saying, you know, I took out an insurance policy, and he gives this really great intimidating speech of, you know, because it's, you know, it's Christmas, it's the holidays, so I'm going to give you a minute to think about what you're starting here. I thought it was really menacing. I loved
it. Yeah, I thought it sounded stupid. I'm going to give you a minute to think about what you're starting.
You're starting a war, man.
Why couldn't you have just said what you're doing? I'm going to give you a second to think about what you're doing here. Not what you're starting. Stupid. Stupid character. I wish you would have got shot in the face sooner.
Oh, man.
So, I'm sorry.
I cannot wait till Echo comes out. We're going to have a lot of fun talking about that show.
What if you're wrong? And what if he's not in it? Oh, that'd be great.
I'll be really, really surprised. I'll be happy for you. I'll be happy for you. Because I don't want you to be tormented by someone.
She's going
to
be slowly. Like, oh, my God, I shot you in the face. How are you still alive? He's going to be like, well, I got hit by a car. I'm really fat. Cars and bullets don't faze me.
I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of built him up to be the villain that's just kind of always there in all the MCU shows. Like, I could see him popping up in She-Hulk. Mm-hmm. I could see him popping up in Moon Knight, maybe even. Maybe not so much that one. But
you know, I've Ms. got Marvel. It figured out. I figured it out just now.
What?
I am a genius, and I figured it out.
Okay.
The Kingpin, hear me out here, was bullied in school, right? Because of how large he was. And when he grew up with these powers that nobody knew about, because he's got the gene, he's a mutant, he is the blob, and here pretty soon he's going to be working with Magneto. I figured it out. That's why he could absorb that arrow with his man tits. He just sucked it up. That's why. And that's why cars don't faze him, because
he's guys, he's the blob. Because
nothing can move the blob.
You may be onto something there.
I'm telling you, I think I am. Cracked the code.
See, there's not as much to speculate with this show as there was the other ones. Usually,
no, there's not.
Like, talking about, like, oh, what's going to happen next? Like, the only thing we really haven't mentioned yet is The Watch, which finally got a little bit of a.
Oh, by the way, yeah, how dumb was that?
I mean, it was pretty. I don't want to say obvious, but.
I got very excited about that watch.
Did you?
Yes. She's Mockingbird.
She's Agent 19, sir. They haven't called her Agent Mockingbird 19 yet.
Is Bobby Moore. She was a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, and obviously she was Agent 19, who is... Go ahead, Trent. Who's Agent 19?
Mockingbird.
All right.
But...
No, there's no buts. You said it.
I'm just saying, like, no, we talked earlier. They don't want to give Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. any love, and that's fine. Just too bad, because it's a fun show. But all these people out there that love that show and were like, well, Bobby's already in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. She's Mockingbird. I'm thinking, like, they could still take this any number of ways they want to, because they never called her Mockingbird. They never even said it was actually her watch. Maybe she just is holding on to it for someone else. Maybe she was Mockingbird, and maybe Bobby Morse is the new Mockingbird. They could do anything they want with it.
They could.
But which is why Marvel's so dang clever. But I did love the reveal. It was, we kind of called it a couple weeks ago, and I felt like there was no other way to take the watch storyline.
Yeah, so Sean from the Caption Life, if you're listening to this, buddy, I'm sorry. You went all in. You put all your chips on the watch not being Laura's. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, pal. I don't think anybody really cared one way or the other, but...
It did seem kind of like an afterthought.
It was the show. Don't make fun of him.
Not making fun of him. The show
was, as it was winding down, and all the major
comment on it.
All the major things were wrapping up. I'm like, they still have to do this watch thing. Like, come on now.
I will say that with the watch, like I think the watch was a mistake because they hyped it up too much. They didn't. Because
like, why did Maya want it?
Yeah, they didn't need any of that information throughout the show. Like, they could have just had it be something that somebody found at the auction instead of, like, the tracksuits are robbing this auction. And one of them's like, oh, a Rolex. I'll take that. And then yeah. Clint comes across it in the show. And then his line at the end would have made sense because she already knew about the watch. And then at the end of the episode,
I thought he was being coy.
I think he was too, but it just didn't hit. That was one of the things that didn't really land with me. Where he's like, oh, the strangest thing was, you'll never believe what they found at a black market auction. Yeah. This thing that we talked about a couple days ago that you knew you'll I was trying to get. You'll never believe
what happened to me today.
Although now I want to see either a show set in the past with Clint and Laura or a show where she comes out of retirement. Because I want to see them in action together.
I do too.
As anything S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, more... Ian, don't look at me like that.
In anything to get more Linda Cardellini, because she is awesome. I love her.
I mean, I'd watch any action with Linda Cardellini, too.
Hey, now.
I didn't watch all of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I only watched, like, the first season or two. Or
I have not seen the last season, unfortunately. It's on Netflix. I need to watch the last
season. Season 3? Was that when she was introduced? Or was it might have been 2.
I don't remember. The Inhuman thing started in season 2. And she came in, I think, after that. So I think it was season 3. Either way,
she was a good character.
She was great character. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was a fun show. I know a lot of people didn't like it.
After the turning of my boy Grant, I was done.
Yeah, that pissed me off too. But it does.
It made me mad too, but it was such a great turn. That episode was incredible.
I was thinking of someone else, but I'm sorry. It still gets good though.
Who were you thinking about?
I thought you were talking about when, I don't want to say now because I don't know if Ian's watched it, but
I think he's missed out on this chance.
Was it Trip? Was that Triplet?
I can still go back and watch it.
I was thinking of him for some
reason. That broke my heart. And it broke his body.
Hey. You didn't announce Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. spoilers at the beginning.
Sorry for the show that came out 12 years ago. Or not 12. I guess it's, 9 years ago? Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. came out 2012, 2013, somewhere around there.
Probably.
But yeah. I know that people are desperately clinging on to the idea that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is canon, but it isn't. It's just not. Kevin Feige's confirmed it multiple times. It is canon in the sense that it's part of the Marvel multiverse. In the second to last season, they're even dealing with like a multiversal threat.
Well, they do time travel too, I believe.
Yeah, like, and they did time travel as well.
But it's a great show. Go watch it.
It was a fun show. It was a fun show. But I'm just saying that anybody who's holding out hope that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is canon, it's just I don't think they're ever going to do it the way that fans of the show want it to. They just need to accept the fact that just like anything else that is Marvel, it's just part of a different universe. It's all part of Marvel, but it's in a different part of the multiverse. And that's okay. That's all right. Oh gosh. I think I've hit all the points. I enjoyed this show. I think that I know a lot of people haven't liked it. They said that it didn't stick the landing. I personally think it stuck the landing. It wasn't the best episode of the season or of the series, but as far as a finale goes, I enjoyed it. I am really glad that they didn't kill Clint. You know, I've been saying this entire time that Hawkeye wasn't going to die at the end of this, but I had a moment there with Yelena that she might have killed him. So I was very glad that he made it home to his family. And I'm glad that Lucky finally got his name and that he and Kate came to spend Christmas with Clint.
That was very sweet.
It was very sweet.
Especially since she just sent her mother to jail the night before and had no one to spend Christmas with.
Oh, yeah. That was another thing. Like, her mom is straight up a villain. She can play the victim card all she wants. And I love that Kate didn't buy that crap.
Really? This is what you're going to do? Really? Yeah.
Is this what heroes do? They send their mother to prison on Christmas?
I wanted to be like, fuck yeah. If you're
a murderer, you admitted absolutely to killing what they a do. Man. Like, you admitted to killing a man and to
I wish this is the place for dragging her off. She was screaming, oh, I'm sorry. I thought this was America.
Oh my gosh. But I also don't think that we've seen the last of her. I still think that there's a possibility she'll be Madam Mask. If they like when she hit Kingpin with the car and the airbag went off.
She got up and walked away. Yeah.
Well, when the airbag went off, I honestly thought ooh, did it scar her face? Is this how she has to get the mask? But it did not. And one last thing I'll say is Kate using Kingpin's cufflink to blow him up was awesome.
And the fact that the cops got there was like, oh, we lost him. We don't know where he went. You didn't see that?
Those were the slowest. Those are the slowest police I've ever seen.
Walking down, trudging down the street.
Yeah, so he wasn't running. He wasn't running away. He was ambling, just ambling down the street.
You that couldn't conflict. Find John Hammond walking down the street.
Big guy, 300 pounds, bright white suit. No, yeah, those police, like, that conflict lasted for a good probably 20 to 30 minutes and was over for probably another 10 to 15 minutes. And then all of a sudden you hear the,
he's we better gone. Go
check this out. You hear the yeah. police sirens in the yeah. background. Yeah,
what happened to the NYPD that there's a full on
like the LARPers were policemen.
I know.
Call in backup.
That's true.
Oh, well. Not one of them thought TV. To call in backup.
Now let's go put on our LARP gear.
Yeah. And did they have that shit with them the whole time?
Yes.
And I'm sorry, if I run out of a building and I see them, and they're like, this way, I'm not going to be like, you right, and then go that way.
I would have been more apt to listen to them when they were in when the were hotel ushers, uniform. Yeah. Like, oh, you work
let's
here.
Let's ditch these outfits.
I did love Clint's reaction to that. The little chuckle, and then we're all going to die.
And also, where was Spider-Man during all this? Because he was clearly swinging around helping New York around Christmas time.
We oh my gosh.
And the tree was still standing at the end.
That's true. So
I still maintain that everyone that said, oh, Spider-Man's going to be in this. Excuse me.
Did their people really think he was going to be?
Yes, because they think that No Way Home and Hawkeye take place at the same time. It's a year later.
No, I think they confirmed it was the same time. I don't know what's right though. I read that they both take place at the end of 2024, I believe.
Well, that's the thing is there was also, they got rid of a sign that said 2025 when they were filming Hawkeye.
So I mean, I'm just teasing. I didn't expect Spider-Man.
No, I know, but that was like a big thing. Like a lot of
I do think they happen at the same time.
I'm under the impression that it's later on, but maybe it's not. I don't know, because everybody's like, oh, well, Rogers is a musical. It's like, yeah, do you know how long Hamilton ran on Broadway? Like, if it's a popular show, it'll go for a long time. It doesn't just, they don't do 1 week and then
like
pack
like
up and leave.
Singer. Or like, no, Book of Mormon that's been going on for 15 years.
Yeah, they'll stay on Broadway for like
you see
2 years.
Up there, then, the Lion King.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm so glad. I don't know when people are going to realize that they're not going to bring in major characters to solve the problem of the character that the show is, like the titular character of the show.
I did see some people that thought Daredevil would show up, and I'm like, no. just because Kingpin's in it and Daredevil was in.
Well, the Spider-Man. People that do that, I don't know if they've never read a comic book before.
Trent.
I'm sorry. No one heard that.
I didn't. I was talking. I was bad mouthing our fellow fans.
Yeah, you all suck. Why are you even listening to us?
Losers.
Well, I just said I think that people that get upset that like at the end of Falcon and Winter Soldier, well, why didn't Spider-Man show up? Because it's not a Spider-Man show, it's a Falcon and Winter Soldier show.
You know, you do bring up a point though. Where's old new Cap been this whole time? He's been Captain America for several months.
He's busy.
What about Spider-Man?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. It's just like, I mean, we've made the comparison before. It's just like in comics, you know,
yeah.
They don't always show up in each other's comics, so they're not going to do the same with the movies and shows. But
yeah, it's like, well,
you wonder.
I remember listening to a podcast years ago. It was a DC podcast, and the guy was like real anti-Marvel everything. He was real mad, and he was talking about the Avengers. It's like, I mean, everybody loves the Avengers, but all this is happening. Where's War Machine? Where's War Machine? It's like every character doesn't have to show up to everything for it to be a cinematic universe. No,
and
man.
I agree with you, but at the same time, most of that shit takes place in Times Square, so it's kind of weird that nobody else shows up in the same city, in the heart of it, in the most popular place.
Maybe War Machine just like
War Machine was in China,
and he's just like, it's my day off. Clint's got this.
They did a comic book tie-in showing where War Machine was. He was a halfway across the world.
Like in Macy's, he just sees all this shit going on.
Nope.
Anyway, they're not going to
actually what he said was next time, baby.
Oh.
Tony. They're not going to have a show about a singular character and then bring in somebody else.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
It's all right. It wasn't important.
Go ahead.
No. I'm all done.
We all are in agreement that they don't. Yep. It's not important for them.
It's really not important for me to rant about it. All right.
Trent, is it important?
It's not important.
Oh, okay.
So if you had to give a rating, I don't think we've rated the shows. If you had to give this season of Hawkeye a 1 out of 10, Ian, what would you give it? Full season.
I'd give it a 7.
That's a fair one. Trent?
I think we have rated them, but I would also, let me think. No, I'm going to give it an 8. I thought it was really good. Really good, start to finish.
I am right there with you. I'll give it a solid. You know what? Actually, I'll go all the way up to an 8.5. I really enjoyed this. It wasn't my favorite. I still think Falcon the Winter Soldier was my favorite, which I know I'm in the minority there. Really? But Falcon the Winter Soldier was still my favorite. But this one, I really enjoyed. I think the characters were great. You know, it stumbled a little bit here or there with trying to pack too much in, but all of them have done that. So, yeah, well done all the way around. Good job, Hawkeye. Can't wait to see more. Yeah, I've got nothing else. Anything we missed before we move on?
No.
Speak now or forever hold your peace. All right, Trent, do we have any followers? I know we have at least
followers.
One. I know we have.
Trent, I know you have a follower. There's one right behind you.
It follows.
Oh God!
Great movie.
Terrible movie.
We have so many followers, like I could barely even read them both. We have Grading the Nerd podcast and the Film Geezers.
We should have one more.
Am I missing one?
Yeah.
Well, Derek, enlighten me because I don't.
Landon Decker, our guest from last week.
You're right. I'm sorry, Landon.
Yeah. Our guest from our Spider-Man podcast, our Spider-Man review. Realized she wasn't Lando following herself. Us right before we started recording.
We need to stop recording now.
You embarrass us any further. I'm freezing.
And Lando Calrissian herself, thank you for the follows.
Yes, thank you everyone who is following us right now. If you know somebody that enjoys the kind of thing that we're talking about, let them know. Tell them to follow us on social media. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. If I can talk these other two bozos on it, we may even be on YouTube sometime very, very soon. as always, go and check out our cousin podcast. I won't say sister because I'm not involved, but go check out
jealous because she's a hot sister.
I am jealous. Go check out the Horror You Know,
our hot sister podcast.
They just dropped they just dropped their episode on Black Christmas, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Go check out their Black Christmas episode. Make sure you give them a follow. If you need to get a hold of us for any reason, you can get a hold of us through direct message on our social media, or you can send us an email at paperweightent@yahoo.com. And that is all. So for Trent and Ian, I have been Derek. Trent had something that I apparently forgot.
No.
You went.
I was just going to say Merry Christmas to you guys because I'm thoughtful like that.
You know what? That's true. I was about to end this entire podcast without saying this is our last episode before Christmas. So I hope everyone has a very, very, very Merry Christmas and a happy holiday season. And just all the best wishes to you and your family, even Ian, even though he hates Christmas and everything that it entails. So everybody well, say
that's kind of true.
Say a prayer for Ian that his heart will grow two sizes. Or three sizes. I'll take two.
Something's going to grow three sizes. Seriously, my heart is. It's going to get very enlarged. I don't take care of myself.
Thanks for listening to the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast. We'll see you next time.
Probably my beard. Yeah, probably my beard. My beard would probably grow three sizes.
Yay!